Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you all so much for tuning in, guys. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode. And this week, we are talking about the recently released Keeper by Osgood Perkins, directed by Osgood Perkins, starring Tatiana. Oh, I don't know how to say her last name. Tatiana
Maslany,
I think. That's what it is. She plays Liz in this movie. And Rosif Sutherland. He plays Malcolm. Those are pretty much the two main characters.
Some very Slavic names on this week's review.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about Keeper. Just came out, and it had pretty mixed reviews, I guess you could say. More positive than it was negative. But some of the reviews that I saw on YouTube were like really, really negative.
They were really critical, I think. I think people expect a certain level from Osgood Perkins, and this one didn't have that like looming feeling that his past couple releases have had.
Well, what I saw in a couple of interviews was that it was pretty much like after Long Legs, they kind of had a creative flow going. So they went with the monkey, and then they had this Keeper, and then they finally released it. And I think it's because it's like a single location horror movie. I think people want more, I guess just a more complex story, but I think it was perfect. It was pretty good for what it was, the folklore, the stuff like that.
Yeah, it was more like a take into the folk aspect of horror as opposed to, you know, Long Legs, which is, you know, your traditional satanic serial killer.
And, yeah.
You know, and then the monkey was just, I mean, that was just
supernatural stuff, yeah.
The cursed object, you know.
I mean, this was supernatural too, but I guess, yeah, I saw a lot of like critical reviews on, I guess, mainly people saying just the story was all over the place, which for me it was in the beginning. At first I was like, okay, I don't know how to make of it, but I guess that's a good thing. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. So I was kind of the same way when I was watching. I don't know about you, but I was like, I don't know if this story's going anywhere. Or
I thought it was like a giant, like literally like the first 45 minutes. I thought it was like a giant, like roofie acid trip thing.
Right. Okay. I guess that's,
Really the feel that I got from
it. Which would make sense considering what happens to her in the movie. I mean, she gets...
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like something supernatural, something spiritual, or if it was just the fact that, you know, literally he laced the pie or the cake.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I thought it was going to be something like that, like where he's like a killer or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he technically is a killer, but he's not really doing... I mean, he's not doing the killing, I guess you could say. But this movie was really good. It was a real twist at the end, finding out everything. If you haven't seen the movie, go check it out. It's really, really good. It's not one of the top tier. Like, it's not above Long Legs. And personally, of course, it's not above The Monkey. But it's pretty good. It's a good little trilogy,
yeah.
I guess you could say. Not obviously, they're not the same movie, but just what he released.
Well, I like the fact that it kind of shows, like a definite... I don't really know how you would put it. It shows a diversity in his films.
Yes.
Like the fact that none of his films are really the same. You can't like attribute any film to the other one. Like they don't link together. And they're all like, you know, they're all their own story and their own dynamic. It's all its own kind of horrors. Like I said, you have, you know, The Monkey was strictly like a cursed object.
Yeah.
And it had that whole comedic standpoint of like this poor guy going around, you know, trying to basically get rid of the monkey. And then, of course, Long Legs was your satanic serial killer. And now this one comes through, and it's like more your traditional, almost like Japanese folk ghost story.
Yeah, kind of like that.
So, I mean, I like the fact that it's showing like a huge, you know, it's a great talent pool because a lot of people are one-trick ponies.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
A lot of directors come up with one thing, and that's it. You know, you're going to get, you know, your Michael Myers. You're going to get that. I'm going to keep regurgitating Michael Myers.
Yeah.
You know, storyline's not going to change.
Yeah. Or you get something like The Conjuring where it's kind of the same thing too.
Yeah.
I know people are probably tired of me crapping on it, but it's kind of like that too. Yeah. It's just, you need another possession, another exorcism, another spook. That's it. Yeah. And it's good to see, you know, something different. You know, again, I think the beginning for me was just a little slow, but also too, I mean, it was a slow burn, but it told a good story.
Yeah, it took it there.
Told a weird story.
Yeah.
Told a really weird story. I like that. But I do like that, though. I like that it wasn't it starts off with you just introduced to Liz. That's it. You don't even know her name at first until she's talking, you know, her friend says her name on the phone and they're talking, and pretty much she's going on a vacation, I guess you could say.
Yeah, or trip. She's going away for the weekend with her boyfriend
in a secluded log cabin.
Secluded. I want to be secluded in that cabin. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that wasn't really secluded because you're next to somebody else.
Because they referenced the neighbors. Yeah. Like literally living right down the street.
Yeah. So it's not really secluded. It's more of just like
a rural. Woods. Yeah.
Like out in the mountains. Like you would go to Ruidosa and stay in one of the cabins in the hills. But yeah, this wasn't really secluded. But I guess it kind of was because it was family.
But it also comes up to the point that, you know, for people raised in the city, like me for the most part, sure. I was raised in Los Angeles. So for me, when like I probably turned, I had to have been like 17, 18 years old, and we went on a trip and we went to a little outskirt and it was called Mount Baldy. They called it Mount Baldy. I think the real name is Mount McKinney or something. But Mount Baldy, we went to Mount Baldy and there was snow. And I'm like, wow, this is like, you know, this is complete like foreign territory here. Now, no, like from that area, you can still see LA County. You can see the little smog bubble just in, you know, hindsight, you know, just right there. But for me, I was like, oh, I've never been to a place. So I think that's basically for her. She's, you know, she's a victim of the urban plight. She's, you know, she's raised in the city girl. So to her, this is probably, you know, this is probably roughing it, you know.
Oh, yeah, because her friend references it, you know, like this is not like the life for you. This is not you. Which her friend is kind of being a prick, if you think about it.
Well, they're both kind of being pricks.
Yeah, true, yeah. But like, you know, her friend found somebody that she likes. And, you know, of course, she doesn't know who he is really. You know, until the end, but I mean, why would you like crap on your friend for finding somebody like and actually? Because
you're jealous.
That's true, yeah.
Dude, come on, look at that guy's place, okay? Look at the family estate. I mean, this is literally, it's reminiscent to me of living in Portland and seeing like they have some like really uber chic mansions in the West Hills, which are just obviously on the west side of Portland up in the hills. And like Art Alexakis from Everclear lives there. And I mean, there are these big, huge, giant redwood buildings with giant plain glass windows everywhere. Jeez. And, I mean, they're million-dollar, you know, properties. They're huge. They're enormous. But they're built, like, rustic.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have that very Japanese, you know, style to them. You know, a lot of windows. Not a lot of privacy. You can literally see into the living spaces.
Yeah.
And so
I don't know if I could do anything in that cabin, man. That was, yeah. Which, I like the set of it. Don't get me wrong. I love the set. But yeah, those windows, I was waiting for that to kind of come into play. And it kind of did when she's like spying on the neighbors. But other than that, I thought they were going to do something like else with the windows because how many windows there were. I mean, even in the bathroom, there was that big old window behind her. And I'm like, I don't know if I could be in the tub and, you know.
Well, I think if you were, like, more remote and, like, more on the outskirts, yeah. But, I mean, if your neighbor's, true, like, right there,
the
you
cousin,
know,
yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be doing my business or taking a shower and, you know, everybody just, you know, some guy's going on a hike with a dog, like, hey, look, there's a bald, naked man up there taking a shower. And I'm just waving. How's it going, guy? Nah, that's not, you know.
But, I mean, she loves him and he loves her, or he does love her, but... what was crazy, it was what you said at the beginning was it was like a drug trip in the beginning. It was, you were in her mindset. You were kind of, you know, because they get this cake that the keeper.
The caretaker.
The caretaker, basically. That's what it was. So, leaves. Yeah.
The caretaker, obviously, like they're going out of town for the weekend. And so the caretaker who lives there all week is like, oh, okay, you know, but. This mysterious caretaker leaves this weird, like manila folder box with, like, twine wrapped around it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's referenced. Yeah, like, you can see it on the counter when they walk in. They're like, oh, and, you know, Liz is like, what's that? And, oh, that's, you know, that's a cake.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you know, she makes these cakes. Our caretaker makes these cakes because, you know, she's thoughtful. And she's, you know, taking care of us.
Well, he references she sucks as a caretaker. As a caretaker. Like, she doesn't...
But that house is clean as hell, so I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, because there's nobody in there, that's why. It's because it's him. It's not anybody else. But the cake is supposed to pretty much knock her out. is what it's kind of alluding to, because that's immediately what I got when we were first watching it. I was like, oh, this is like a drug cake. Like, he's about to, because he didn't eat any, and she doesn't like chocolate, but yet he's still gonna force feed it. Like, not force feed it, but
that's
like
the weirdest part. Yeah, he's like, you know, you have to eat a piece.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh well, that would be the first thing to tell me if I go out of town with someone and I'm not comfortable in a comfortable situation. Like, even if we just go to a cabin in Rio Doso, and you're like, oh man, you got to eat this Reese's peanut butter cup, and I'm like, no, I'm straight, man. I don't really care for, you know, the combination of chocolate and peanut butter. And you're like, oh, no, nah, man. Got to eat this peanut butter cup. Yeah. And then you pass it over. Nobody else at the table is eating the peanut butter cup. I'm going to be like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean,
I don't know. I guess she's, you know, I guess she cares for him enough to eat the chocolate cake, which she hates.
Well, the main worry that she had was that he was had like another family or something like that, or another piece, like she was the side piece.
Yeah. That's why he's taking her to like the remote location.
Yeah. But that's not the case at all. Yeah. Cause the stuff does start to be like turn weird, especially with the cousin that shows up in the middle of their dinner.
Yeah. They're having dinner basically the first night that they're there. As they come in, like the cousin comes over with some, like, basically like, you know, Russian supermodel.
Yeah.
And then they're like sitting there, and the cousin's like totally dumping over the supermodel. He's like, you know, just tearing her up. Once, she doesn't understand English. Oh, she understands.
And then,
like,
she does. She actually does.
Like Molly, and you know this, and then she looks over at the cake box, and she looks at Liz, and this is before Liz is eating it, and she goes, "It tastes like shit."
Yeah.
And Liz is like, you know, intrigued at this point. Which, once again, that's only more ammo for the fire of why the hell would you eat that cake?
Yeah.
He cuts the cake. He gives it to you. You don't like chocolate, okay? Rule number one. Then on top of that, the supermodel told you, and you could tell the cousin's totally dumping on her, and she's telling you the cake tastes like garbage. Don't eat it. Then, old boy's not eating any of it. So it's like, okay, well, Malcolm's not having a slice. I'm sitting here eating this cake that this person tells me tastes like crap, and I don't like chocolate. But lo and behold, what you won't do for love. And so
I guess so,
she eats the cake.
Yeah, but that night she craves it. She craves more of it.
Oh, yeah. That night she wakes up, like, literally, like,
well, she's seeing the images of these women that are dying, obviously. Which is, the intro, too, shows, like, all these women, and pretty much, like, they're, obviously, it's a POV of you, or you as the watcher, pretty much, and these women. And you could tell they're from different time periods, like literally the first one's from the 50s, then it's like the 80s, and then it's like present day. But each one is like a date, and then living together, and then like them dying. So she sees these images of these women dying, eats this whole cake, and then is like drawing them in the morning. And Malcolm is like, you know, you okay, whatever. And you could tell he's kind of worried because, like, she ate the whole thing. It's in the trash, and it's like, you know, uh-oh, something's up. But he has to go into town for, which is weird, too. Again, they're on this, supposed to be this trip or this, like, you know, just.
But he's supposed to be a medical professional too. He's supposed to be a doctor. So he's
true.
He has a Hippocratic oath that binds him. I mean, you don't really, you know, as a doctor, like as a heart surgeon or something, you don't have, like, you know, the convenience to be like, oh, well, I'm going to the park with my kid today. You don't get that. It's like being a cop or a first responder.
What if you're on vacation, though? You're like, hey, I'm taking the weekend off.
I'm sure they'd still call you if, you know. You have to actually, from my understanding, you have to take your caseload, and you have to put that on a different doctor. Because, like, someone next to you or, like, one of your colleagues has to watch over your patients while you're gone. So I can understand that with a vacation, like, yeah, if you were going to Bora Bora or something.
Yeah.
But he's only going away for the weekend for, like,
he's, like, out of town. Yeah.
He's going, you know, it's not, like, anywhere where he couldn't actually go and, you know.
That's true, yeah. So he says responsive. He had a patient that was in a coma. They were supposed to come out of it. They never did. So he has to go and rush into town. And she's by herself. And the weird crap starts happening. She starts seeing these creepy beings.
She finds a locket in the stream.
Yeah, and wears it for some reason.
It was a nice locket. I mean,
it was nice. I'm not gonna wear it. Like, I watched too many like cursed object stuff. Like,
but you have to also realize like how much, you know. I mean, she was only supposed to eat one slice, and that was the whole thing. And that was kind of supposed to, you know, like negate her senses. She ate the whole damn cake. So what does that mean? I mean, even he was freaked out by the fact that she ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he has ever had anyone out of all these situations. Don't think he's ever had someone consume the entire cake.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the jump scares afterwards, after he leaves and she's by herself, one of them did get me, and I'm like, okay. I was like, this... Because it's like, I don't know, it's just... The atmosphere that they did in this movie was great, because it was very unsettling. There's weird angles. Like, there's like a shot where he's like talking to Liz. Malcolm's talking to Liz, but it's like someone's peeking over the...
Well, did you also notice that through all the angles, like the weird architecture of the house to begin with, the glass windows, everything being completely visible, everything. You never saw the bedroom.
That's true, yeah.
You do not see the bedroom in this movie. You see, like, she sleeps on that little weird couch thing that's underneath the stairwell. The bathroom's at the top of the stairs. All this stuff goes on, but you don't really ever get a real, true living space. It's like, you know, it's just the whole house is built kind of odd. It's all kind of, you know, upsetting and disturbed.
Yeah, it's almost like it's just supposed to be there for...
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost a waiting room for what's to come.
That's kind of what it's like. Yeah. But yeah, every shot is like at a weird angle, or it's like a peek over the corner. Cause that shot I was talking about, it's just like literally like, I want to say like a good 3/4 of the screen was just wall. And then a little sliver of just Liz and Malcolm. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, why? But it's, I guess it's supposed to like kind of imitate like somebody peeking over or out, like from behind a wall and watching them from the shadows. Cause that's these things that are like
one of the creepers with a GoPro. Yeah.
Well, these things are like crawling, and like, she sees when she spies on the neighbors, she sees like it crawling on the roof. And I'm like, ah, dude, this is weird. Like, this is getting really weird. Cause you don't know. It's like, is Malcolm like a killer, or does he have something to do with this? You know, these things going on, or is he a killer and like these hauntings are happening, or that's what I like about
it. Or did he put something in the cake and he's just like,
and she's hallucinating. Yeah.
Like, did he dump like, you know, a gram of shrooms in there and I ate like the entire thing and like, now I'm tripping out. So she's left at the house and she's, you know, she's going through all these things and really her mind's getting away from her. She's really starting to lose control.
Yeah.
And, of course, at that moment, you know, obnoxious cousin, you know, Darren comes to the door.
Remember, model is leaving the house, and she ends up getting taken by something out in the woods.
Yeah, she's just out in the woods, like, just complaining about how much, like, basically this time sucks.
Yeah. And she gets taken by something.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
An elevator shaft on the back of the tree is what
she was taking. Yeah, that was cool because it was like she...
Yeah, it looked like she just like stepped on some kind of booby trap and just up into the tree.
But yeah, the cousin shows up while she's alone with a bottle of, what was it, bourbon or whiskey, something like that?
It was bourbon.
Yeah. And pretty much is like surprised that Liz is still there.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's like...
And he left her.
Yeah. And he's like, well, where's my cousin at? You know, why are you still here?
Can I get into my family's house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she lets him in because, I mean.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, yo, you need to call your cousin. Tell your cousin what's good. Tell your cousin to come home. He'll be back around 6.
That explains why later on, you'll realize why his concern was for his cousin. Because it's like, oh, that's why he was, like, looking for his cousin, making sure he was all right because of the. I guess you could say their family curse between the both of them. But he's acting weird, and she goes to hide in the restroom, like, you know, maybe if I wait in the restroom, he'll leave on his own or catch a hint or something.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
But he goes into the kitchen and gets a knife. And I'm like, see, what I was thinking is like, okay, they are killers. There are like they're a team, like that's what they do. But then after seeing what happens to the cousin, I'm like, no, there's, or not the cousin, the model. I'm like, oh, no, maybe it is something else. But he was going to kill her, and he ends up getting got by something from the shadows, these creepy little things. Not little things, but these creepy things. He gets...
Yeah, they're weird little, like, porcelain kabuki masks. Like.
Yeah. Well, they're eating them. They're eating... and they leave no trace of them. Like, no blood, no nothing. And then Malcolm finally shows up, and she's like, dude, like, your cousin was acting weird. And then I started seeing these... like women with plastic bags over their heads. And finally he just, or she finds a picture of, his family.
Yeah.
In the restroom.
The 50s family, which is another thing. Like, come on now. Like that wouldn't tell you something.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Like that would put me off. Like, okay, I'm already like tripping out.
Well, she didn't even like notice that it was like an older picture. She was just like, who is this?
Yeah, like, she's acting like she's... Yeah, because yeah. She tries to call her friend, who lives in the city,
yeah,
to obtain a ride for her friend to come and pick her up.
Oh, yeah.
But they have, like, you know, they have a friendly dispute, let's say. And so she's, like, pissed. So she's trying to get this ride, and then, of course, she finds, you know, then the whole full-on, you know, you're just trying to hide me from your wife and your kids. I know that's what you were doing in the city. And for some odd reason, alcohol solves everything because, like, seriously, like, next thing you know, Malcolm pops out some bottle of wine that he had down in the cellar, you know, Chateau Marmont 1962, and done. All the arguing is over. We're going to go get drunk now.
Yeah, well, they were talking and drinking, and then he says that his patient died, that she didn't make it.
Well, she asked about the patient.
Yeah.
And he basically has no answer.
Yeah.
He's like,
But then she, like, forgets it when he says that she died. Oh, yeah. No, she died. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, that's it? That's...
Yeah. She's like, hey, how's Mrs. Crow? And then he's like, who? Oh, Mrs. Crow, your patient.
Mrs. Portnoy?
Whatever her name was. Yeah, and then he's like, oh, well, she died. Oh, okay. Let's just keep drinking.
Yeah. And then they bring up the picture, and it's like... Finally, he sits her down and explains to her what happened. Pretty much, he's like 200 years old. So back when he was younger, him and his cousin, they found, I guess, like a witch?
They found a woman who was basically a liaison to the spirit of the forest.
Yeah.
And essentially, she was pregnant by probably some forest god, some pagan forest god. And she would come... basically onto Malcolm's father's property.
Yeah. And do her thing. Yeah.
And bathe down by the river, probably do her little, you know, make little, you know, flower, you know, circles and stuff like that. Little pagan rituals. And so they found her on the property. And so they decided, you know, being upstanding young men, what were they, Northridge boys? I forget what they keep.
I think it's something like Westbridge Boys.
Westbridge Boys, yeah. They keep referencing to themselves, and you can tell that that just is not a term of endearment. It's a term of basically being like a spoiled little rich kid, essentially. Yeah. And so, due to the fact that they're Westbridge Boys, they go through and Malcolm draws fire and takes a shot at the witch.
Yeah.
And
they take her to the barn, keep her there, and she was already pregnant.
She was pregnant by the forest spirit, and they throw her in with the sow, the big pig, and essentially leave her there. And when they go back to check on her,
She had given birth,
but not to anything that they were in any way familiar with.
No.
And so, yeah, they dispatched the witch, but apparently the children that were born of the spirit are what reckons and makes a deal with, you know, the two boys.
Yeah, pretty much, like, what was it? If they keep them fed, pretty much they get to live however long they want. Now, they do age, but they age at a slower pace.
Yeah, they got, like, wishes, basically. It was like a djinn. They got wishes off of, you know, going through. And so they obviously, you know, being young men, oh, we want to, you know, we want to live forever.
Yeah. And so they do. I mean, yeah, they're aging still, like you could tell, because obviously they were young boys when they shot this woman. But they're getting older. They're just not getting older at a fast pace like everybody else. It's like maybe, like, I don't know, every 10 years is a year.
Yeah, it's definitely slowed down because it's been 200 years. And they're like, in their mid-40s, yeah. early 50s maybe. So.
Yeah, so they're, yeah. They, but the cousin guy got, and we find out why, is because he explains to her that Liz is the, he actually does love Liz. He's had many lovers in the past that had to, you know, be eaten by these gods, I guess you could say, these children.
Yeah, but he's never cared about any of them.
But he did care about Liz because Liz looked like the...
Liz looked like
the woman that
they the witchy shot. Woman, yeah.
Which explains why they probably... The children probably didn't want to eat her.
That's probably why they took to her. Like, at one of the first scenes in the movie, she's basically going through and she breathes on the window. And then she draws a heart. And then later when she's in the bathroom, from the reverse angle, from the outside of the house, something breathes on the window and draws a heart towards her. So she has this semblance of the mother.
Yeah.
So they're going through, and that actually is weird because I like that because I was reading a story earlier in the week, totally ad sequitur, but it was about the fact that that's actually, when you do that, that actually casts, it's like casting a spell. When you breathe on a window and you draw something on it, or you draw a word on it, and the reflection on the opposite side is, it's kind of like, you know, to the other worlds.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, it's a curse.
I need to do that and do like a money sign or something.
Yeah, but then it's going to give you a reverse money, and that's just going to be a debt. So you're just going to be like, nah, I'm good.
Well, I'm already in debt, so.
Yeah, but you can always get more.
Would it reverse it? It's
not... I don't think so. Just stick a bill up to the window. Yeah.
But yeah, so she freaks out, obviously, because he's like, you're going to die. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing to it. Like, nothing. Like, he feels bad, and I guess, kind of. But he takes all of her belongings. She's, like, trying to get out, and he's like, you can't escape. Like, they lock all the doors. They're going to eat you. Like, you're done. So he, like, gets her belongings, puts them in a box, and then he has, like, a little area for his past wives.
Yeah, he's got, like, a little, and he still talks to them.
Yeah.
And then, like, he, obviously, she's given up the picture of him with the one lady from the 60s.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Sharon, or whatever her name was. Oh, Sharon, look, they found your picture. They found our picture. And he puts the picture in the box with Sharon, and then he goes back to basically...
Well, he's like, meet Liz, and then he puts her box up there. I'm like, that's kind of weird. So he, like, she falls because she was trying to escape outside, falls into the river, and they save her, is what I think. And she's in the basement now, and they finally, like, reveal themselves to her. Now, these are, like, uncanny looks on these, I'm going to call them children, these children's faces. They're not children, but they're, like, lanky kind of monsters, but I just call them children because they came from
the mother.
The mother, yeah. And, dude, they are the porcelain-faced one, the one with the trash bag on its head.
Yeah.
When it finally, like, reveals itself to her, it's like, it looks like a Tool music video. That's the only way I can explain it. It was weird. It was, like, eyes and mouths and nose, and I'm like, what? It was weird to look at. It made me feel weird. I'm like, dude, this is, like, I want to look away, but I'm like, at the same time, like, it was intriguing. It was like, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, because you wanted to see what was under the bag. You wanted to see. You want to see what's under the mask. You want to see how much of these things reveal.
Yeah.
You know?
And most of them are probably just, like, what, pale-faced?
Yeah.
And except for that one. That one has, like, multiple eyes and it was weird.
Almost like a spider. It has, like, all
these. Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. But they're pretty much, like, I guess, like, praising her. Like, you know, she's alive. Like, I mean, they take to her like a mother.
Yeah.
And then they pull out this, like, head out of a jar of honey, and that's all she wrote. Pretty much it goes black from there, and you go back to Malcolm, and Malcolm's like, you know, hey, you know, everything's, you know, I get to live another, you know.
Yeah, he's sitting in his little chair listening to music, you know, listening to his little, you know.
Whatever. Turning it up every time she screams. And he's like, yeah, I get to live another, you know, 100 years for free, I guess you could say. Goes to bed. When he wakes up, he's an old man now.
And he's suspended upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
So he's like 90. He's got, like, you know, the five little wispy gray hairs dangling off of his head. His teeth are all rotting.
He's like almost blind in his eyes.
See the cataracts.
Yeah. And he pretty much finds out that Liz, you know, survived, that they took to her. that they, I guess she has these powers now. She has like what they have, and or I guess what the witch had in the beginning.
Yeah.
And pretty much is telling him, like, you know, I mean, all the things that you did to these women, like, you're going to pay for it pretty much. And
but then he starts pleading with her. That's the weirdest part. So Malcolm starts pleading with Liz. He's like,
he's like, I actually loved you.
Liz, come and help me. Come on, cut me down. No. Dude, you fed me, like, laced up drug cake.
Yeah.
You sacrificed me, essentially, to, like, these, you know, these demons that you have living in this house.
Yeah.
You don't know what the forest god was. It never revealed itself to you. But now the children of the forest god probably have the same amount. See, that's the thing that got me, is the forest god loved the woman.
Yeah.
So the forest god probably saved her because it loved her. Which the whole love thing, everybody's like in love with Liz. Everybody loves Liz, you know, just. So that's what I took from it, is like, yeah, obviously the forest god has more power than you, you like weak mortal.
Yeah.
Like your flesh decays, your flesh rots. I'm eternal. I'm an elder god. Like, I can take care of you. So, yeah. So Liz basically becomes, you know, kind of like a courtesan to the forest god to take care of his children and, you know, live happily ever after in the house that was created by the Westridge boys.
Yeah.
So.
And, yeah, he gets dunked. They dunk his head into a,
yeah,
jar, a big old jar of honey. That's it. What a way to go, I guess. That's what you said, at least.
What a way to go. Absolutely.
Some sweet honey.
I'm telling you. I've always thought of things. Like, I've seen, like, many horror movies where people drown. I've always been terrified of drowning. And I always like the takes that people have with people drowning. Like, there was one movie I saw when I was a kid. I think it was Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. And the guy drowned in a grain silo. And I'm like, that would just suck because you just suck, like, the grain in.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, perverts your lungs and just ravages your body. And it would suck to die that way. But honey, now honey's a new take. I haven't thought about that because I'm like, wow, that's, you know, that heavy, somewhat viscousy, so you could actually get it down into the lungs. But then it would just sit there and congeal and it wouldn't move and you couldn't, like, hawk it up. It would just be bad, and it would, like, just basically impact your nostrils and your throat. And
I don't know if I could do that.
It would be a pretty horrible way to die. So that's why I was like, wow, that's, like, a really creative take on things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they use the honey as some sort of ritual in their ritualistic practices.
Yeah.
These children, because they had, like, heads in it in the basement of the house, of the cabin. So they use it quite frequently.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Liz makes it out on top. She's like the new goddess, I guess you could say. She's the new keeper of the house.
She is the keeper.
She's the keeper.
She was a keeper,
Mom. Or of the forest.
Yeah.
Because she was getting a lot of dreams of the river and pretty much the past of what happened. Because she probably did have a connection to the previous one. Who knows? But yeah, it was a really weird movie. It was... At first, I thought it was going to be like, oh, man, this story's not going anywhere. But the twist at the end of them being 200 years old, which was crazy, of them making a deal with these weird children, it was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I came out surprised. I was like, okay, this actually was a really good story, you know? So if you're watching it and you're like, this ain't going nowhere, just give it a chance. Just wait till the, you know.
Yeah, it grows on you.
Yeah, it grows on you. Because there is some creepy moments of when she's talking on the phone. When she's talking to her friend to come pick her up, and this, like, the elongated, like, neck starts, like, peeking over her, and I'm like, that's creepy, man. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unsettling moments in this movie, and quite a few jump scares. Like, one got me, so it was pretty good.
Yeah, I recommend it, definitely. It was,
you know. And who knows, it might, you just showed me before we started recording that it might.
So it's speculative at this moment.
It's speculative, yeah.
It's totally speculative, but there are murmurings that this is going to basically perhaps, you know, usher Osgood Perkins into the Pooniverse. Neon went through and released, they're going to war with, you know, everyone buying, you know, these popcorn buckets and all the swag. I mean, obviously, the monkey had a great popcorn bucket.
Yeah,
so
it did.
They, you know, Neon went through and released on this note. They went through and released a little honey jar. And it sold out, like, instantly. It flew, like, right off the shelves.
Jeez.
But they're seeing that this, you know, and trusted, reputable sources. I mean, Fangoria is, like, they've they've built the industry, like, and they're speculating that it might be a tie-in with the Pooniverse. Might.
But it would help out them a lot. Oh. The ones doing the Twisted Childhood stuff, like, it would help them a lot.
Oh, if Perkins went, you know, hand-in-hand into the Pooniverse, individually, I'm on for that ride. I'm strapped in. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So then if you, like, actually throw them both together and you do Osgood Perkins and all of his movies that he's coming out and you mix them up with the Pooniverse and you tie everything.
And it would also be easier for us here in the U.S. to watch them, you know, because, like, they'll only release them in some major cities. And it's like, dude, I would love, like, I wanted to watch Peter Pan in theaters. Couldn't do it.
Bambi.
Bambi, we still haven't seen because it hasn't been released. Never released here.
December 3rd, it gets released on DVD.
So, yeah, I'll be able to see it then. But, yeah, like, I'm on board with it. I would love to support it, but it's kind of hard to support it.
It's difficult when you're having to, like, you know, import the movie from Australia.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Like, an extra...
Well, the weird part about it is it's like a sparse, desolate wasteland. You can't find it anywhere. And then, like, you'll be in Walmart one day.
And then now it's, like, on the shelf.
Like myself, I couldn't wait for Peter Pan. I was like, I've got to have it. So I sourced it. I mean, I got it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was great. But now it's down to the fact of, hey, I want Bambi. I got to source Bambi. So I'm working on sourcing Bambi. But it's like, then, like, I want to say it was like 2.5 months later, I'm at Walmart. And I walk past the display. Oh, lo and behold, there's Peter Pan, Neverland Having a Nightmare. $14.96.
And you got it.
And I'm like, no, I had already bought it.
Oh, that's so right. You already,
like,
bought it. Yeah.
Matt, like, you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if that's what's going to happen. And now, again, it's just, you know, speculation. It's not confirmed or anything like that. But it would be great. It would be pretty cool to see.
Oh, it would be so great. Yeah.
But this movie, Keeper, was really good. I enjoyed it. The acting was great. It was very unsettling. Puts you in an eerie kind of state when you're watching it. The weird angle, camera angles and stuff like that. That's what really, really did it for me.
Terrifies you more of baked goods than the Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really good. And, you know, it might, like, you might second guess that, you know, that quote unquote acquaintances, you know, baked goods that they gave you as a gift or something. I'm like, yes. No.
That was not even a gift. I don't even understand that. But.
It wasn't. But yeah, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. That was our review on Keeper. Next week, we'll be hitting Black Friday on
Black Friday.
So if you haven't seen Black Friday, it's with, you know, it's one of another Bruce Campbell film. Michael Jai White is in it. It's really cool. It's a really cool movie. It's very underrated, and I think that's why I want to do it. I'm like, dude, no one's talked about it, there's, like, very few videos of people talking about it. But it was very underrated. People didn't really watch it at the time when it was released. But, hey, now that we have this platform to talk about it, we can do it. So,
and
yeah.
On top of that, Prime's giving you a Black Friday deal, and they're giving it to you for free.
Yeah.
You can watch it for free.
That's right. You can watch it for free on Prime. So,
go
watch Black Friday, and we'll talk about it next weekend, all the great stuff and, you know, everything about Black Friday probably. But other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. Trying to do better at posting more. Other than that, we will see y'all
next week.